بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers, الحمد لله for that graces we are receiving from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Graces that we cannot count, as Allah told us subhanahu wa ta'ala في كتابه وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها. However, a Muslim cannot really count how many graces he receives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most important or the major grace that we are having is the hidayah to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this big grace by directing us to Islam, while the others, Jews and Christians and the atheists or the polytheists, have been not given to this chance totally, actually, as we have gathered it. Yes, they have been given the chance to become Muslims, but they did not accept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by his own grace subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave us this big grace of Islam, that he gave us the help to accept this deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while the others have given the chance to see Islam, but they did not accept it. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Tonight we are going to start, inshallah, our dars to talk about this hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, which is very famous. The hadith which is narrated by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu arba, and collected by Muslim and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i, Ibn Majah wa Ahmad. All of them have collected this hadith. And since it is in Muslim, we don't need to talk about the chain of the narration. It is correctly, inshallah, correct. So this hadith, actually, as mentioned in the paper, you have a long hadith which contains talking about the case of Islam and the pillars of Islam, the case of Iman and the pillars of Iman, the case of Ihsan and the case of the Sa'ah or the Judgment Day. Within the time, inshallah, we'll try to talk in detail about each point of these mentioned cases that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned to us through Jibreel alayhi salam when he came to him. The story is this: Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu wa arda told us that while they were sitting with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man whom they do not know, a man who is not a traveler, a man who is not known among them, came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with clean clothes, clean hair, and he sat down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him these questions about Islam, Iman and Ihsan. Of course, these questions or these answers really, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the end of the hadith, when he asked Umar, do you know who was that? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Allah wa rasuluhu a'lam, they know best. So he said that Jibreel came to you to teach you or to teach you your deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel in the picture of a man to come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him these questions about Islam, Iman, Ihsan and Al-Qiyamah or Sa'ah. Since this hadith, with this wide knowledge, we need to talk about it. Talk about it in wide or in details, because it's really needed for a Muslim to discuss the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to discuss his deen. But we are not going to jump to these cases unless we go step by step on our topic, inshaAllah ta'ala. So the first point we need to talk about is the point of ilm, the grace of ilm, the grace of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us. Listen to Rabbuna subhanahu wa ta'ala when he tells us about the importance of knowledge of Islam. As the paper you have shown, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises up these people who learn Islam. Who learn Islam for what? They are learning Islam to be in the right track, to be saved from falling into the wrong or to the mistakes. To learn Islam to be following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a correct way. That is what we are supposed to do. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Allah is ordering Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask Allah for more knowledge of Islam. If this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who knows everything about Islam as Allah taught him subhanahu wa ta'ala, what about us? We really need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, رَبَّنَا زِدْنَا عِلْمًا, رَبَّنَا زِدْنَا عِلْمًا. Also, hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is in, collected by Muslim, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. Those who are running for علم of Islam, tired, making jihad for themselves to reach the knowledge of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a help to go to Jannah, a way to Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us back with these people. That's just an introduction about our case of علم. And if you really notice the hadith that Umar ibn Khattab described also the way that man who was Jibreel alayhi salam in a picture of a man. He came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he sat down and he put the knees to the knees and his knees to Muhammad's knees. Okay? And he put his hands on his thighs. Of course, this kind of sitting is the kind of required for every person who wants to learn Islam. From that, the scholars said that this sitting is really a push to the person to be humble so that he will receive the ilm or knowledge of Islam. Because they said, they have a say, that ilm or knowledge of Islam will not be given to two persons. A person who is so shy, he cannot ask about ilm. He will not get ilm. A person who is having an arrogance not to receive ilm, he will not get ilm. Only that person who is coming to learn ilm with humble, because usually the teacher or the sheikh is more knowledge than the people who are listening to him. I'm not talking about myself, by the way. So just this is the regular way they are doing this. So when I come to my sheikh, I sat down in front of my sheikh, being humble, because I want to learn from him, to listen from him. And we have a saying in Arabic, says, whoever teach me one letter of ilm, I will be his slave. Of course, we don't mean the slaveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this case. But this is the case that a Muslim should go for ilm with a lot of jihad for himself. Jihad to ask and to learn, to have more and more. Because the result of this, as we read before, in these ayahs and these hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give these people more and more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them up and up. That's why al-ulama warathatul anbiya. The ulama or the ones who are gaining from the anbiya. And ulama and anbiya did not give, after they died, did not give money. They gave ilm. So what we need actually is to learn this ilm. So we will be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we know knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about Islam, we are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we are actually looking for. We are looking to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will have the happiness on this life and the happiness in the judgment day. The great subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, He loves the people who learns his deen, who run for his deen. More and more they get closer to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. See those people, those who have learned Islam, they learned ilm of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the beloved of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they know, when they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they glorify him subhanahu wa ta'ala, they get closer to him. Then they enjoy the life, as Allah told us in his book subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling us that those people who are making remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more. So what we need in this life, not only to eat and to sleep and to enjoy and to wear clothes and so on, we really need to be happy. And happiness is not in these materialistic things. So many people try to be happy with these materialistic things, food, money, women, so on. Did they find the happiness? No way. No way. They did not find the happiness in this way. Sometimes these are going to be trouble for them. As Allah told subhanahu wa ta'ala about the kafirin, that their children will be a trouble for them. Their children, they will be really a headache for them. Although they are having children, they want to have money, they have children, they want to enjoy the life, they cannot. While a Muslim, the true Muslim, when he gets closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a help in everything, with his children, with his life, with his money, with his... These things are only just a way to go. That's why your life, as Muhammad s.a.w. described to us. See Muhammad s.a.w., how did he live? How did he live, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He lived with no money almost. He lived with so little food. He lived with very limited clothes. Why, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can't he work and have more money? He could have, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, done this, but he was not really thinking of this. He was thinking of the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was thinking of Jannah. So he was too busy to think of these materialistic things. He was, as our mother Aisha radiallahu anha told us in the hadith, telling her nephew Mus'ab ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, she said that one crescent, another crescent, three crescents in 2 months, and no fire lit on the houses of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, no cooking? 2 months no cooking? Yes, 2 months no cooking in the houses of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not one house, there were 9 houses no cooking. Why? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is too busy of these things. His wives, our mothers, were too busy to think of food. And most of these people are eating now. They were not thinking about these things. They are thinking how to satisfy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By praying, making da'wah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were running all around, trying to save people from falling into hellfire. As he told us in the hadith, أَنَا آخِرٌ بِحِجَّزِكُمْ عَنِ النَّارِ. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey the message, and he did his best, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to convey the message. The result is that, look at these Muslims now. All these 1.5 billion Muslims became Muslims because of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not because of their own mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for all these people who accepted Islam because of him. Every good deed we are doing in here or before, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gaining kabi of it. Exactly like us. Why? Because he was the reason for our hidayah to Islam. So when Jibreel alayhi salam came to the majlis of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and sat down, as I told you, putting his knees to the knees of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, putting his hands on his own thighs, and he asked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhbirni an al-Islam, tell me about Islam, tell me about Islam. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him about the 5 pillars of Islam. Then he asked him, or before that he said, you are right. So the Sahaba were amazed. How come he is asking him and he is telling him you are right? This is something, and they were suspicious about this case. Then again he asked him about Iman, faith. So he told him about the 6 pillars of faith. Then again he said, you are right. Again he asked him about Ihsan. So Muhammad Hassan told him about the 1 pillar of Ihsan. Then he asked him about Sa'ah, or the when is the judgment day will come, or when the people will die, Al-Qiyamah. So Muhammad SAW told him, because he doesn't know the ghayb, the unseen world, he doesn't know the future, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unless what Allah SWT told him. He said that the one who is asked have no more knowledge than the one who is asking, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he asked him about the signs of that day. So he told him about the signs. And after he left, alayhi salam, Jibreel, Umar sat down with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some time. Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, asked him, do you know who was that? He asked him about the one who was there. He said, Allah wa Rasulullah alam, we didn't know. They know best. Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. He said, that was Jibreel, came to teach you your deen. Subhanallah al-Azim. Since Jibreel was responsible for wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with this way by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach the mu'mins, the sahaba, the deen of Islam, and the rest of the cases mentioned in this hadith. Actually, this hadith is a way for us to learn more and more about our Islam. So we will go in much detail, especially the cases that every Muslim now needs it. So don't be bothered if we go in more details, because details sometimes are needed, especially in cases that really Muslims are facing now. So piece by piece, inshallah, we'll go step by step in these cases, and I will do my best, inshallah, to bring you the steps every time written in the paper so you can follow the case we're talking about. Let's start in easy way. The first case we are going to discuss is the case of the five pillars of Islam. And the first pillar is the testimony. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And maybe I have been, when I came in here sometimes, some of you may remember that I have discussed the case of la ilaha illallah, but we need to talk about it a little bit in detail. It was just a few minutes after Salah, I think this is not enough to discuss this in wide, but now inshallah, since we have a complete dars for about an hour, يعني after Maghrib this week only, inshallah next week it will be after Al-Isha. Next week inshallah after Al-Isha, because a lot of my brothers have called us, brothers like you have called me and told me that they cannot come in Maghrib because they are busy with work and so on. So inshallah, starting next week, we will make the dars after Al-Isha, after Salat Al-Isha inshallah. So we need to go in details, and details and more details, because we really have a lot of problems needed to be solved among ourselves, among our Muslim brothers. You can see easily if when you look at the reality, when you look around in Muslim situations, in Arabian countries and the non-Arabian countries, and everywhere in this world, you will find Muslims having a lot of conflicts. Why are they having a lot of quarreling? Because they did not get the true understanding of Islam. All of them are loving Islam. Yes, they love Islam, that's for sure. Every Muslim loves Islam because he knows how much he gets out of Islam, how much happiness he is getting out of Islam. But the problem is that we are having a problem of understanding Islam. That's why we have to start from the scratch, from the first point. I'm not going to tell you that what I'm telling you is new for you. I know most of you know it. But it is just a case of reminding. As Allah told us in His book, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Note this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remind Sahaba and the others. Because reminding in here will be good for who? For mu'mineen. Not for kafirin, for fasiqeen, for bad people, no. Reminding will be good for mu'mineen. Inshallah, you are mu'mineen. So, this is, I'm reminding myself in the first place, and reminding you about our deen, about our Islam. So the first case we are going to discuss, and we'll take a little bit of يعني time in talking about it, is the case of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, which is the first pillar of Islam. This pillar actually gives you يعني a wide understanding of Islam. It's enough to know, as we said before, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, the best messenger among all messengers, the best person ever walked in earth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent 10 years in Mecca before Isra and Mi'raj, asking for nothing but La ilaha illallah. There were no salah. You remember that first thing after Shahadatain was implemented among Muslims was salah, right? That was when? After 10 years, when Muhammad Hassan was 50 years old, when he went to Isra and Mi'raj. Of course, there was no fasting also, no zakat, no hajj. So 10 years of 23 years of Nubuwa and Risala, what was that? Almost a half of the time talking about one case. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. What is the wisdom? Do you think this is without wisdom? Impossible. There has to be a big wisdom behind that, and that's true. The big wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create a new generation among Arabs and the others. This new generation will be the leaders of the world. Yes, and they were. They were the leaders of the world. You can see this easily when you read the history. After Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immigrated to Medina, and he started to send his Sahaba for fighting the Kafirin and spreading Islam. After 92 years of Hijrah, La ilaha illallah was sounding on Spain, which is Andalus. La ilaha illallah was sounding also in Kabul and behind Kabul also. La ilaha illallah was sounding in Turkey now, sounding in Sudan and the other areas. How? How this happened? Did they use a new weapon? Did they discover the nuclear bombs or these strong missiles? No. It is the case of La ilaha illallah. It's the case that they have been made new people. Arabs before that, for your information, you know it maybe. Arabs before the Islam, they were friendly people. Every group of them, they were fighting the others. They are killing and taking and they are eating bad things, drinking alcohol, having zina, and so on. These were Arabs. But when Islam came, Arabs became different, totally different than the Arabs before. They became new generation, new people. Those people really were the leaders of the world. And subhanAllah, it's not only Arabs, by the way. Subhanallah al-Azim. This deen is not only for Arabs. And who said that it's only for Arabs that is mistaken. And the proofs are a lot. Some of the best followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Bakr, Arabian, Quraishi. Some of them also was Suhaib, from Roman. Roman, he was not Arabian. Salman al-Farisi, Parisian. Subhanallah. Bilal ibn Rabah, who was from Al-Habasha, Africa. These were the leaders of the world at that time, after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They leaded the world to where? They leaded them to the happiness. Were they running for money, for land, for women? No. They were only trying to save people from hellfire. As Rib'i ibn Amir, radiallahu anhu, when he went with Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas to fight the Persian in Iraq, and they met the soldiers of Persians, Rib'i ibn Amr was sent to talk to them, to their leader. So the leaders of Persians, Rustam was the leader of Persians, he asked him, "What do you want? Why are you coming to us in here? Before we send you food and money to relax and stay in your area because you are so poor. Why are you now coming to us?" He answered him with a very strong answer. Very strong answer. When you just think of it, you will be amazed how this Arabian who used to eat bad things, who used to drink alcohol, who used to be very bad among his people, is answering such answer. He said, "We came to save people from worshipping the other people, to worship Allah only. We came to save you people from worshipping others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah only." That is actually a pride. When you feel as a Muslim that you are worshipping the only creator and sustainer of the universe subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you feel? While you see the Hindus worshipping what? An animal or ant. When you see the Christians worshipping the cross. When you see the Jew worshipping the money, the dollar. When you see the others worshipping the sex and women. And while you as a Muslim worshipping the creator and sustainer of the universe subhanahu wa ta'ala, how proud you will feel. How strong you will feel that you are a difference than all of these bad people. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us from worshipping all these dirty things. To worship Him only subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rib'i ibn Amr told Rustam clearly that we came to save you from worshipping things, humans, to worship the only creator and sustainer of the universe subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's really a big case. What made this man, who was only a Bedouin, who was his thobe cut, all, and the whole thobe was a lot of cuts, his sword was so weak, broken in some pieces, broken some place in it, still he is talking to Rustam, who was wearing a gold crown, sitting in a gold chair, talking with arrogance. But he's telling him, "No, we came to save you." Allahu Akbar. What made this man say this? That he was made by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba were made by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he started with them, with only La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This word, if we really think about it, do you think that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spent 10 years asking for nothing but La ilaha illallah, what's big wisdom behind that? It is a big wisdom. This La ilaha illallah has melted these Arabs to be a new shape, a new idea, a new mind. Why? Because Allah wanted this. No salah, no zakah, no hajj, no soom. Only la ilaha illallah. Some sahaba died before they pray one single zakah. Of course, they did not fast Ramadan or fast or pay zakat or go for hajj. They died in the beginning, the first 10 years of da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are inshallah in Jannah. So the case is comes in here that la ilaha illallah is a must. If a person is not following la ilaha illallah or practicing la ilaha illallah, whatever praise he is doing, whatever fasting he is doing, whatever zakat he is paying, whatever hajj he has done, is no good, no use, fruitless, voided, because la ilaha illallah is the best, the beginning. La ilaha illallah is the first step, nothing before la ilaha illallah. So we need really to know what la ilaha illallah. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given la ilaha illallah this much of time? Why did he tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to call people only for la ilaha illallah? 10 years he's calling for only one word, la ilaha illallah. It's very important. Don't feel bored when you hear a lot about la ilaha illallah, because this is a very important point. When we start with it and continue with it, we will feel that really we are true Muslims and we are proud of it. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah made those sahaba who have changed the situation of the world that time. That time there were no Americans. There were no two Americans areas. They were only Europe, Africa, and Asia. And within 92 years, most of these areas were under the control of La ilaha illallah of Muslims. When Muslims come to a country like Persian, Iran, or the area like Khorasan, do they come and take the money and women? No. They come, when people accept Islam, they make the ruler from them. They are not running for money or women or taking the land. They are running to bring people, save people from worshipping idols, stations, worshipping other people, to save them from that, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And they did this. In fact, you will see, if you read the history, that Arabs, when they started to curve from true Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala substituted the Turkish instead of them. As Allah tells in the Holy Book, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Yes, that happened. When the Ottoman Empire controlled the Islamic world, they were not Arabs, but they were good Muslims, especially in the beginning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving the Arabs more than the others. He is giving only Muslims. هو سماكم المسلمين من قبل. He does call us Arabs, he calls us Muslims. So we are Muslims, we are Arabs, or from Africa, or Asia, or Europe, or United States, or American areas. All of these are not counted in Islam. The only counted thing is Islam. So we are Muslims. We are Muslims in the first place. Before we are Saudis or Americans or this or that, we are Muslims. And Islam is gathering us, brothers, brothers in Islam. As he gathered subhanahu wa ta'ala in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gathered Abu Bakr, Arabian, Salman, Haitian, Suhaib, Romanian, and Bilal from Habasha, from Africa. All brothers. All brothers. So that is the case when we talk about La ilaha illallah. We need to reach the point that we are saying La ilaha illallah the way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to say it. The way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to understand it. The way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to practice it. That's what we need. That's what we need really if we want the happiness in now, in this dunya life and the judgment day life. And this is the only way. This is the only way if we want the happiness, this is the only way of happiness. How can we prove that? Easily. Easy. See how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. See how Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Ibrahim did it. They did it the way that Allah wants us. To start with La ilaha illallah. Unfortunately, Muslims, they say La ilaha illallah. Yes, they do. They do. But unfortunately, Most of them, they do not understand the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. And when we miss the meaning, the true meaning, then we miss everything. Easily to understand, to see how Muslims now, they say La ilaha illallah, and they break La ilaha illallah at the same time. They say La ilaha illallah, then they go to these graves and ask them instead of Allah, where is La ilaha illallah then? We'll talk about this inshallah later on, but it's very important to put it in mind that just to say La ilaha illallah without understanding the true meaning of it, it's a big mistake. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was ordering Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah. فَعْلَمْ إِعْلَمْ means understand. Know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. So if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked by Allah to know the meaning of La ilaha illallah, what about us? We are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are supposed to learn the meaning of La ilaha illallah in order to be from Ahl La ilaha illallah. The result of these 10 years that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent to teach his followers, to teach the Arabs, to teach the people of that time La ilaha illallah, the result, as I told you, that leaders of this world became from that La ilaha illallah. What we need now is to come back to La ilaha illallah. We need to pray, we need to fast, we need to pay zakah, we need to make hajj. But before that all, we need La ilaha illallah first. Just the way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So let us start with La ilaha illallah to see how can we become true followers of La ilaha illallah, true people who are following La ilaha illallah, doing La ilaha illallah as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do. In order to be beneficent, in order to get the benefits of La ilaha illallah, there are three conditions. Put them in mind. Three conditions, if a person has them, then he is benefiting from La ilaha illallah. The first one is to know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. To know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. Muslims say La ilaha illallah every time. In salah, out of sight of salah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. We always say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. We are talking about the meaning now. What is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? There are so many meanings, but the only true meaning is one. The true meaning that's understood by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what we need. Not any meaning. The first case we are talking about is the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. Where is the true meaning of La ilaha illallah? Listen to this. Some Muslims, and I mean sometimes some scholars, not a regular people, some scholars, they miss the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. Unfortunately. So they say, La ilaha illallah means no creator but Allah. Is that true? Of course not. Yani, do we mean that no creator but Allah is wrong? It is not a wrong sentence. The true creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. But this is not the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. Why? If you read the Arabic language, you will find ilah in Arabic means the one who is worshipped. And creator in Arabic also, khaliq, is the one who is creating. So they are talking about different cases. If you, we'll talk about that, inshallah, in the case of the sect of Tawheed, Rububiyyah, which is Lordship, Uluhiyyah, which is worship, names and quality, which is Asma wa Sifat. So now, talking about the creation of Allah, that's the side of Rububiyyah, Lordship. And talking about Uluhiyyah, La ilaha illallah, it's talking about the worship side of Tawheed, or monotheism. So we are talking about different cases now. So this is not the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. In fact, this meaning is accepted by Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and the other kafirin in the time of Muhammad ﷺ. Did they become Muslims? Anybody knows that Abu Jahl was a Muslim? Or Abu Lahab was a Muslim? No way. They were kafirs. They died kafirs. And they are going to hellfire. Although they were admitting and accepting that Allah is the only creator and sustainer of the universe. Listen to Allah telling us about them. Talking to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab and the other Kafirs are admitting that the creator and sustainer of the universe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still they are not Muslims. Why? Because they are talking about one sect of Tawheed. They are admitting and accepting one side of Tawheed, not every side. While La ilaha illallah, they reject it. Maybe you heard this story, I'll tell you now. Maybe you heard it before, but no problem. Let's just remind ourselves about it. I told you before that Abu Talib, the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to defend him, although he was a kafir. Although Abu Talib was a kafir and died as a kafir. But he was defending his nephew just because of the arrogance of the tribe and so on. The leaders of Quraysh, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah, and the others came to Abu Talib and say, listen, your nephew has made a lot of trouble to us. Why don't you bring him? We'll have a deal. Well, have a deal. He segregated Quraysh tribe. He made a lot of trouble to us. Why did you bring him? We'll talk about the deal, you know. So Abu Talib was, and he thought that, fine, why not? So he sent someone to bring Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, when he gets into the house of Abu Talib, and saw the leaders of Quraysh there, he knew that there is something around. There's hunky-bunky stuff in there. So, he said, what do you want? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asking the leaders of Quraysh, what do you want? Why are you here? And he knows that there's something in there. So they said, what do you want? You are the one who segregated us, you made this trouble to us, and this. What do you want? He said, me? He said, yes. He said, what I want is only one word. One word. If you say it, you will control Arabs and non-Arabs. Subhanallah. One word? Abu Jahl was a guy who's, he's jumping all around, he's exacting. So what he said, text him. Not only one word, text him. See, Muhammad Hassan told him, say la ilaha illallah. Huh? Did Abu Jahl say it? No, he didn't. He rejected this. Why did he reject it? Why he said he gave him 10 words, not one word? Because Abu Jahl, unfortunately, knows la ilaha illallah better than a lot of Arabs now. Subhanallah al-Azim, yes. Abu Jahl, the one who died, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have already told us that he is in hellfire, he knows la ilaha illallah better than a lot of Muslims now. Better than a lot of Arabians now, who are reading Arabic and knowing Arabic. Why? Because Abu Jahl was a pure Arabian. He knows what the true meaning of la ilaha illallah. It means that he will worship only Allah. And he will kick out all these stations he is worshipping beside Kaaba and the other places. So in this case, we have to remember now and to talk about the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. It's not a case of creator. No. We're not talking about creation. La ilaha illallah is not talking about creation. It is talking about what? About worshipping. Sometimes you will find, and that's unfortunately spread among Muslims, that no La ilaha illallah means no God but Allah. And that you can find this also in a lot of translations of the meaning of Quran. And this is even incorrect again. Why? No God but Allah is incorrect? Yes, it's not correct. Totally not correct. Why? Because if you read it clearly, God in here, you can add is, right? So it will be God. Allah cannot be one of these. Plus, it's contradicting reality. There are a lot of gods worshipped. Of course, false gods, but they are worshipped now. Even in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in His Holy Quran, Alihatuhum. So they have gods. And they are counted gods, but they are false gods. So if you say no God but Allah, it is contradicting reality. There are gods. So we have to put it this way and to say the true meaning of La ilaha illallah is none has the right to be worshipped but Allah. That's mentioned in here in the hadith. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because ilah in Arabic, as you said, the one who is worshipped. So the only one deserves to be worshipped is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first step to know the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. And also to know the incorrect meaning, so to avoid falling into the mistake. Do you see now? A lot of scholars, they see Muslims go to these graves asking them instead of Allah, and they do not say anything. When you talk to them, they say, "Ya Shaykh, this is easy, yani, alhamdulillah, they are Muslims, and they are praying five times and so on and so on. But they are worshipping something." No, 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 no problem. They are still saying, "La ilaha illallah." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. They are saying, "La ilaha illallah," but they are breaking "La ilaha illallah" by polytheism or shirk, as you will see later on, inshaAllah. So because some Muslims, some scholars even, they do not know the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, they fill, or they let people fill into shirk or polytheism. What we need is to understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah, the way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted us to know it. The way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about it. The way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us about it. That none has the right to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one deserves to be worshipped is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first condition to get the benefit of La ilaha illallah, to be a true Muslim, is to know the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. Second condition is to practice it. Because theories only is not enough. If you find a doctor who has studied medicine for years and years, but he's not practicing, he's useless. Useless. In fact, sometimes later he will forget all his theories because he's not practicing them. And you know that doctors, when they graduate, they have to do some practice before they get their certificates. So, to know the meaning of La ilaha illallah, the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, is not enough. Unless we practice it in life. How do we practice it? How? By giving the worshipping only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we know that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some Muslims say, we are not worshipping others. What are you talking about? There is no Muslim worshipping some other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, there are. There are, but they are not calling it worshipping. They call it ziyarah. They call it shafa'ah. They call it jah. Huh? They didn't call it worshipping. No, it's not worshipping. I'm going to the grave. He will tell you, I'm going to the grave only just to have barakah of awliya, Qalandar Baba. Just barakah only. Yeah, because the place where the Qalandar Baba is there, or the dead person there, I am just asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is more barakah there. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Did Muhammad Hassan do this? Did he order us to do this? Subhanallah wa bihamdah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly warned us so much time not to fall into this mistake. As we will see later on, inshallah, when we talk about shirk, na'udhu billahi min shirk. So to practice La ilaha illallah means to worship Allah only in every worshipping, and also to know the meaning of worshipping. If we are having a problem with the Muslims now that they do not understand the meaning of worshipping, we have to clear it out. We have to clarify it. What is worshipping? Is it just to pray and fast and go for Hajj and pay zakah? This is a part of the worshipping. But actually worshipping is everything you do in your life that Allah ordered you to do. Dua is part of worshipping. And dua, unfortunately, is the most thing among Muslims, they are doing it to the others instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they call the dead people to save them, to cure them, to heal them, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that we are humble. We are sinful people, we cannot talk to Allah directly, so we have to go through these babas. Subhanallah al-Azim, Subhanallah al-Azim. While Allah clearly told us in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Call me, that's the meaning of it, call me. He did not order us to call Him through such and such grave, or through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or through that and this. No, He called us to call him directly, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wanted us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call him only, directly, ud'uni. No intermediate. Yes, receiving wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not direct. Through Jibreel and through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But sending our deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be only direct. That's the way that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. That's the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in his book. To call him only directly. Ad'uni astajib lakum. طيب, what about this example they say, when you talk to them they say, why, listen, يعني, we'll give you an example. If you are in a company and you want to talk to the general manager, you cannot talk to the general manager directly. You have to go through his secretary and his helper or whatever. يعني, you cannot go directly to the general manager. Subhanallah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Are they comparing and likening Allah to the general manager of a company? لا إله إلا الله. إيش هذا؟ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows every single word you say it, or before you say it, you know it is subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't need a translator, he doesn't need a secretary, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He hears you directly before you say it. Allah, the one who told, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in his hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah knows the footsteps, that he hears the footsteps of an ant in the darkness. He hears that and he sees, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't need secretary. He doesn't need anybody to arrange things for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he told us, ad'uni astajib lakum. So this example is bad. In fact, it's insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa taqaddas. In fact, when we have more sins, Allah loves us more, because he loves people who come to him back. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. الله أكبر. أسرفوا على أنفسهم means what? They made a lot of sin, a lot of zinu. Allah is calling him, call him, come back. Don't feel that I'll not accept you. Don't feel that I'm not going to accept you. Come here. And in the other hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a good Muslim call him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, labbaik, labbaik ya abdi, one time. And when a Muslim who has made a lot of zunub, a lot of sins, when he calls Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, labbaik ya abdi, labbaik ya abdi, labbaik ya abdi, three times. Why? Because he needs to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy when his slaves who have made a lot of sins come back to him. لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرْحَةً بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ أضاع راحلته في الصحراء. يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى will be so happy, more happy than the person who loses his camel in the desert, where the camel is carrying his food and his water. Allah will be happier than this person when he receives and finds out his camel after he was thinking that he is going to die. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah is happy. Why is he happy, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does he need us? لا إله إلا الله. He doesn't need us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he is merciful. He is merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loves to get us to Jannah. He loves to give us to happiness. But we are the people who are not looking for happiness, unfortunately. He wants us to come back to him. He wants us to come back to him. He wants us to call him, request him, cry, ask him, weep for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to save us, to be merciful with us. He loves that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So practicing la ilaha illallah is very important, which is the second condition. Practicing la ilaha illallah means to worship Allah only. Worshipping as a game to say, not only to make salah, zakah, hajj, sawm. No, this is not enough. This is part of the worshipping. Worshipping is a wide word. Everything you are doing in your life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a worshipping. Listen to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's giving us a very fantastic example. He's giving us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a fantastic example. He's telling us that Iman, when he takes his wife to bed, he's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. Ish hada. Kif? Yani people think this is the farthest thing from being a worshipping. That's what Sahaba were amazed. Ya Rasulullah. Yani if we do our desire with the women, we are. He said yes. If you put it in haram, you'll be punished. If you put it in halal, you'll be rewarded. So ibadah, ya Abdullah, ibadah is a white case. Worshipping is a white case. If you eat, but aiming that this food will make you very stronger to be capable of making the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salah, zakah, and so on, then you are worshipping Allah. When you go for work to gain halal money, to feed yourself and your children and the poor, to give out a charity, this work is worshipping. You will be rewarded for it. If you play football or cricket, if you are people of cricket, if you play aiming to be stronger, to make your body suitable for ibadah is one. Could be salah, could be jihad, could be da'wah, could be running for the poor, for the hunger. If you do this, exercising will be rewarded. Of course, as long as this is done with the conditions of Islam. Yani, a person who plays football, as an example, with his ties out, no, he is in trouble here. So every action, every statement a Muslim is doing, aiming the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a worshipping and he is going to be rewarded. That's why another case we say that Muslims, when they misunderstood the case, the word, the meaning of worshipping, they fell into the problem of worshipping others instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they go to the graves to ask for barakah is only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who can give the barakah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These graves, these people, these pious persons, these wali, these Qalandar Babas, even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not giving barakah. Barakah is only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should ask barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See Muslims, when they go to Mecca, what they do? They go to Ghar Hira, they go to these places, thinking that if they go and touch the rocks, stones of the cave of Hira, they will have some barakah. What's the evidence? We are following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. We are following the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us an evidence that touching these rocks will give us barakah. From where? They cannot find it. They cannot find one single evidence. Do you find that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his hadith that when you come to Mecca, go to Ghar Hira? Find it. Where is it? Where is it? I bet nobody can find hadith like this, or correct hadith at least. They cannot find it. So, worshipping is the case that a Muslim should be so careful with. It should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anybody else. When Muslims really misunderstood the case of worshipping, they fell into shirk, na'udhu billah, polytheism. Go and ask these people who are going to the grave worshippers, and ask them. They will never admit they are falling into shirk. No way. Like, what are you doing? Asking Ajmir or Shah Jalal or Sayyid Madani or a Bedouin in Egypt, asking them for Shafa'ah or for help or for curing or for children. What is this? Is this worshipping? It is worship. By the way, subhanAllah, don't think that's only outside of this country. This country used to have, as I said before, here in Riyadh, we used to have a grave. They claimed that it is grave of Zayd ibn al-Khattab, brother of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma. And they used to worship it. They used to come to make tawaf on the grave. They used to come and make sacrificing, slaughtering. They used to come and shave heads. They used to call the grave of Zayd ibn al-Khattab to give them things that only given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this called? What is this called? Playing, sleeping, eating, this is worshipping. These people are worshipping others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's happened in here also. As I told you before, there was a valley beside Al-Kharj. You know Al-Kharj. There was a valley which was having plenty of palm trees, male palm trees. Women in this area, 250 years ago, they used to go to that valley if they cannot have husband. If they are 25, 30 years old and they did not have a husband, They go to that valley and they hug one of these trees, palm trees, and say, please give me a husband before year is finished. What is this? Playing a game? They are worshipping. They are asking the trees to give them husband. Who can give them the husband? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can. So shirk or polytheism is among Muslims a lot. But the case that they are not calling this shirk, they are calling this dua, they are calling this that, they give names. Whatever these names they are giving this. So put in mind that when we clarify the true meaning of La ilaha illallah, when we clarify the true meaning of worshipping, then we will come ahead to the point to be benefit of La ilaha illallah. Now, we knew the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. We knew the meaning of worshipping. We knew how to practice La ilaha illallah in our life. One more condition to go. One more condition to go is the condition that to save La ilaha illallah from being broken. To be saved from the contradictions of La ilaha illallah. Contradictions of Islam. Which is also another important point, an important topic that we need really to talk about it in detail. That will be inshallah next week. As we said inshallah, next week we'll make the dars after Al-Isha prayer. After Al-Isha prayer inshallah. Only on Tuesday, yes. Tuesday after Al-Isha prayer inshallah. Only on Tuesday. We'll come inshallah in here and we'll sit down inshallah, we'll discuss the cases of Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest, He will reward you and reward me inshallah for what we are saying and listen. Remember that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the angels of Allah, they are moving around, flying around when they see the people sitting for studying the Quran and Sunnah, they come and sit down with them. Then when they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will ask them, although He knows subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they said, Ya Allah, we found them sitting studying your deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them all. So He will say, قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ. Alas, go, you are already forgiven. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So one of these things will say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, such and such person, he sat down, he did not need, he did not came for ilm, he came just for some reason, some other reason. See, also for him, I forgive. They are the people who their friends will be benefit of them. Just because he's sitting with them, although he did not want to learn or listen, he got being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, sitting in these places, مجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا غشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده وقيل لهم قوموا مغفورا لكم. الله أكبر. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what we have said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us for what we have been said, for what we have heard. This is only inshallah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest of all. He subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward every of his slaves for what he has done. Lastly to say, Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum, help our brothers in Gaza. اللهم أهلهم يا حيهم اللهم ساعد عبادك المؤمنين في غزة يا حي يا قيوم اللهم انصرهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم انصرهم يا حي يا قيوم اللهم عليك بيهود اللهم عليك بيهود اللهم عليك بيهود اللهم شتت شملهم وفرق جمعهم وخالف بين كلمتهم يا حي يا قيوم اللهم اغفر لعبادك المؤمنين اللهم من حضر في مجلسنا هذا اللهم فاغفر له يا حي يا قيوم اللهم وفقه في حياته اللهم اجعله من الموفقين يا حي يا قيوم اللهم اصلح له ذريته يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وجزاكم الله خيرا.